Intervju Radija Študent. Sledi debata s saksofonistom, skladateljem in soničnim raziskovalcem, Stevom Lehmannom. V zadnjem desetletju si je skupico zelo avtorskih plošč med ljubitelji novega džeza ustvaril zavidljiv renome, ki ga po svoje potrjuje tudi z najnovejšo, letos izdano ploščo Dialect Fluorescent, ravno včeraj predstavljeno na vašem najljubšem radiju.
So, Steve, I presume you are going to play the music from your latest album, Dialect Fluorescent,
today in the club.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
And so, can you describe the conceptual premises of the album, which in a way is a sort of a departure from the more modernistic touch of your previous recordings? Well, I think... I suppose it's a little bit of a departure just because half the material is music that's composed by other composers, and the albums that I've done recently have been almost entirely my own compositions, although I have recorded in the past compositions by people like Andrew Hill and Jackie McLean and John Coltrane. But it's a little bit more on display in the case of this album because there's, like I said, there's half the record. But hopefully there's a lot of continuity in the album. So from track to track, whether it's my composition or composition by Jackie McLean, there's really what comes across as the sort of musical voices of the performers, of the bassist, of the drummer, and of my own musical voice as well.
One could say that this album is quite strongly revolving around the more hard bop, bebop idiomatic space. And can you maybe try to explain what's at your at this moment the challenge for you to be making music in this space?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. I wouldn't say that it's more in the hard bop realm. There's some compositions by those composers, but we do our own arrangements of them. So, like I said, I think the main difference is just that we have music by other composers, and it's all, you know, whether it's my piece or someone else's, we're just looking for music that we're excited about, and music that we can... where we feel like we can do something personal with music, and that could be a piece by me or it could be a piece by someone else. So that kind of goal, I think, stays the same.
Mm-hmm. And somewhere I noticed that you mentioned that there are still a lot of things you can learn from Jackie McLean and from, of course, John Coltrane. And could you kind of, in a non-abstract way, non-musical way, explain what are these kind of paths that you can still continue?
Mm-hmm. Well, what is there still to learn from John Coltrane? I mean, so much. I mean, his kind of mastery of the saxophone and his mastery of harmony, his mastery of rhythm, it's the kind of thing that you can, you know, learn more details about it sort of endlessly the more time you spend with it. It's like, you know, music, literature, film, all these things, there's always more to learn when you spend more time with them. So I think for John Coltrane it's the same thing.
And you also got the cover of a song from the some old 60s movie, I think, Willy Wonka, The
right.
Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain, when did you found, how come that sort of sugarish ballad became the idea for this cover of yours?
You know, it's funny, it's just a really, it's a song that's been recorded kind of in abundance. There's hundreds and hundreds of different recordings of this song by people like Lou Rawls and I think Maroon 5 and Mark Turner and Mariah Carey and Bill Charlap, and it's just kind of, I think it's a beautiful melody, so a lot of people have tried to adapt it, and so we tried our own adaptation of it.
Mm-hmm. So what if you just kind of depart from this album a little further back for 3 years, and you were, at that time you recorded the album Transformation and Flow.
Yeah.
And can you, in short, explain the notion of spectral harmony and spectralism, maybe?
It's hard to explain it in short, but I've had to get good at it a little bit. Well, it's spectral music is it's sort of a way of thinking about music. Mostly, it's a site, kind of an attitude about music, where you pay very close attention to the physics of sound and timbre in particular, and kind of information about how we hear sound, why one sound sounds different to us than another, and use that information to make compositional decisions about harmony and orchestration and form.
So you kind of departed with composition from some sort of sonographic images, visual, some sort of visual representations?
Sometimes you can do an analysis of sound where you see it represented visually. That can be helpful. And other times, a lot of the stuff is just kind of common knowledge. Not common knowledge, but it's information that's easy to have about the nature of timbre for a lot of instruments. So sometimes you don't even need the visual part.
And how do you write this music? I mean, how do you, let's say, communicate it to other members of the band? And also, do you have any cues for the other members to, let's say, for the input of microtonality that is also often can be heard in mm-hmm. recordings?
No, it's written the same way that all music is written. There's a standard notation for how you write quarter tones that I think has existed at least in Western notation for maybe 120 years or something like that. So yeah, I didn't have to do anything new with notation.
What about the spectralist, the spectral harmony, to achieve the spectral harmonies? How do you, let's say, you just write it up normally, or do you communicate any other way?
No, you just write it out normally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But are there any musicians, jazz musicians, that practice these spectral harmonies in a more intuitive way, without ever maybe even knowing the notion of spectral harmonies?
Well, I mean, if we go back to my definition of spectral music as being interested in timbre and using sort of ideas about the physics of sound to make decisions about music, then yeah, I think there's a lot of composers and improvisers that are interested in timbre and work with it in sort of implicit and explicit ways. So yeah, I think there's a history there.
Mm-hmm. And so you say this interest of yours can be also heard on your new album. Can you maybe elaborate on how, let's say, this shows on your new album, the Dialect Fluorescent?
Well, yeah, there's compositions where the harmony is based on spectral techniques, and since there's no harmonic instrument in the new album, since it's just saxophone, bass, and drums, the way it comes across is that we have scales that are derived from spectral harmonies. So that's how it kind of comes across in the music on the trio record.
Mm-hmm. Can you, then, to move a little further, still,
sure.
still a little further back, on Damian as Posthuman, you had venture into the field of electroacoustics, and do you still intend to work in this field? Are you currently working maybe in this vein of music?
Mm-hmm. I do. I just was. I work a lot with electroacoustic music and computer music. I was an invited kind of researcher in residence at IRCAM in Paris, which is, I think, maybe the most well-known center for electronic music in Europe, and maybe in the United States as well. So I was working on a project there last summer, you know, I have a lot. It's harder to find opportunities to record that music, but it's still something that I do and perform regularly.
But could you share your thoughts on the electroacoustics in jazz in general, or maybe your opinion on the thesis that it's the electronic devices, either hardware or software, are sometimes used a bit robustly mm-hmm. and do not kind of go as far as they could with either the specter and the complexities of these instruments?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure I know how to answer that. I mean, I can think of examples of musicians using electronics in extremely sophisticated ways, and also people who use them in more rudimentary ways. But that's, you could say the same thing for the saxophone, you know.
Yeah. So I was actually wondering, which are these, which are some current or records that came out lately and could be mentioned as concerning electroacoustic jazz?
Yeah, well, somebody like Craig Taborn had an album come out called Junk Magic, which uses electronics and acoustic music in a very sophisticated way. George Lewis had an album come out. He's had several albums come out. One's called Les Actes Rituels, Les Rites Rituels, and another one called Voyager, which is a computer program that he wrote. And that's very sophisticated, I think. Those are a couple examples that come to mind.
So, can you maybe elaborate on what are the current challenges that you have maybe to overcome, overcome in your expansion of your musical language, mm-hmm. that you notice at the moment?
I think the challenges seem to be the same, is just to kind of find ways to stay really excited about music and working on music and trying to find ways to write music that's personal and, you know, to kind of create settings where I can make music with other musicians who I feel a real connection to. And you know, kind of work together to build something that feels really special. You know, so that's always what I think a lot of musicians are working on.
And you still feel yourself as a jazz musician to be able to then economically strive to do that in some time in the future?
I think I'll be okay.
So you mostly tour in Europe, or do you, how let's say is currently the American market for concerts, for listeners?
Well, it seems fine. I mean, I do a lot of playing in Europe. I do a lot of playing in the United States. I'll start doing some performing in South America next year, and maybe Japan after that. The United States is just different because there's very little government money funding for the arts. So it more comes in the form of private donations and private foundations that offer grants and things for artists. It's very competitive. So you have to, I don't know what you're supposed to do, just pray or something, cross your fingers. But yeah, it's a very different, it's totally different from Europe in terms of the way that arts are supported. And seems to me, in the United States than in Europe.
But still, your fellow musicians are more or less based in America.
Mostly, yeah, with some exceptions, yeah.
Which are the European musicians that you currently were lately working on or follow them closely?
The ones that I've recorded with recently, I've lived in France for a number of years at different times. So Michel Edlin is a French flute player that I've recorded with. Jean-Jacques Avenel is a French bassist. Maciek Lasser is a Polish saxophonist living in France. I'm probably forgetting some people. I'm going to be performing with a German saxophonist, Angelika Neisker, this summer. And then, of course, I mentioned that I was collaborating with researchers in Paris at IRCAM this past summer. So I feel like I have a fair amount of ties to Europe in addition to the United States.
And so you have any notion of if your collaborations in Paris, will they be published in any foreseeable time?
Probably, yeah. We'll make a recording and release it in the next 3 or 4 years, something like that. Mm-hmm.
So, actually, we're just gonna slowly finish the conversation.
Okay.
So, besides the music from the Elektrocent, what can we expect today in the evening at the club Sangre de Doma?
Well, other than the music, I don't know. I mean, I think it's music that, this will be the 7th concert of our tour, and in every concert people seem to have really found a lot to connect with in the music. There's a lot of opportunity to engage with the music. It's very rhythmic. It's very melodic. It's very well rehearsed. We spend a lot of time working on the music. So that's what people have told us that they relate to the most, to just the kind of experience of hearing the music and contributing to it as listeners, and seeing three people kind of really work in close collaboration on something that they're really passionate and excited about. And I think that can be really special for an audience if everything goes well.
And considering the music on this record is very integrated with your all three are playing in sort of union that kind of clicks together.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems quite based more or less composed. And how much do these concerts that you have currently have been having, how much do they differ from one another?
Well, they think they've differed quite a bit. Most of the music is really based around improvisation, and of course there's a structure for improvisation, but you always need structure when you're improvising. It's like when somebody's speaking extemporaneously, they're still following the rules of grammar and tense, and they're aware if they're speaking in the present tense or the past tense, and you don't think about it, even though you're negotiating an incredibly rich and complex kind of organization, which would English, Slovenian, whatever it is. And that's what we try to do in our music, is be able to internalize very sophisticated structures so that we can improvise.
And can you imagine yourself playing this music with another set of musicians, that, let's say, both of them, you've been playing with both of them for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
and Damian is especially this kind of very powerful, energetic musician
mm-hmm.
that goes along with the music on this mm-hmm. record. Is this music, could you say this is as much as theirs as yours? Could someone else play it?
It's definitely as much theirs as it is mine. I mean, I think, you have to, for music that's very personal and specialized, which I think is the best music, you need to find musicians that have overlapping interests, that are interested in a lot of the same areas. So I've played a lot of the music on the record in different settings, with different musicians. I've recorded quite a bit of it in other settings. So I think that means the answer is yes. I can imagine myself doing it because I've done it already.
Okay, I think we'll finish with that.
Great.
And thank you very much
for
the debate.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, see you in the evening.
Okay.
Sogovorniko v ravno minuli debati Stivu Lemanu bomo skupaj z energičnim Ridom Dvojcem, Damionom Ridom na bobnih in Mattom Brewerjem na basu lahko prisluhnili ob 20:30 v klubu Cankarjevega doma. Vredna obiska. Fantje ga res fino žgejo. Za pokušino in še glasbeno ozaljšanje tekočega dneva prisluhnite komado Pure Imagination. Intervju Radija Študent.